Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the UK Tech Weekly Podcast. We've been on a mini hiatus mainly because of all of the events that have been going on, two of which we're going to talk about today. We're going to be talking about Apple's developer conference, WWDC. We're going to be talking about everything that's come out of E3 in Los Angeles this week. And to help me do that, I'm joined by Macworld UK editor Karen Khan.
Hi.
And Tech Advisor staff writer Sean Bradley.
Hello.
So let's get on with the show. Karen, WWDC this week?
Well, it was actually not even last week now, I think.
Was it a while back?
So part of our brief hiatus meant that we didn't talk about it last week.
Well, don't let anyone accuse us of bringing hot takes. We take 2 weeks to ingest everything,
think about it. We've had time to sort of actually absorb the information we were given and see how people are getting on with the betas and so on.
Good.
And that's one of the great news is about the iOS update, iOS 12. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of people running the beta on really old iPhones, like the iPhone 5S, the iPhone 6, have found substantial speed boosts.
Good, because I'm on an iPhone 6, so this is relevant to me.
So this is going to be a big deal to people with older iPhones. I think it's looking at, you know, apps loading a lot faster. It's all to do with the amount of time it takes your iPhone to open up an app initially and like get kick in the processes and everything else. That's cut right back down, so things just are happening more instantaneously. There are some other big changes coming in iOS as well. We've got things like Do Not Disturb, which will let you sort of set your phone not to alert you to anything when you're supposed to be asleep. And Screen Time, which is quite a good, if you've got kids, say, who are using an iPad and you want to make sure that they're not spending all their time watching YouTube videos, but also for yourself so that you don't waste all your time in Facebook.
Yeah, I would say that's not just for kids. That's to try and keep a cap on my Twitter usage.
Some of the new features coming for iPhone 10 users, you've got things like Animoji. There are some new Animojis, and there's the ability for it to sort of copy if you're sticking your tongue out.
Yeah.
And Memoji, so you can create your own sort of avatar.
Nice.
Sort of style thing. FaceTime, one of the big deals there was that you can now have up to 32 participants in a call. So, forget about crowding into a boardroom. Yeah. Interestingly, this is something you could do years ago on iChat, but of course iChat was a Mac app. Mm-hmm. So it's like this feature is finally coming many, many years later to FaceTime.
Is that kind of a shift into more businessy use cases, or are they trying to sell it as a consumer thing?
They're probably trying to sell it as a consumer thing, really, but I can see it being a helping them sort of take on Skype and so on. So there's a lot more to say about iOS 12, but I'm going to skip straight onto Mojave. First thing was we spent a long time working out how to actually say it.
Yes.
But apparently it's Mojave.
Is
Mojave?
It?
Mojave, something like that. Anyway.
Because I've always heard people call it the Mojave Desert.
Yeah, so. But apparently the J is like an H and there's like a sort of R sound, but it depends on how you hear it. I don't
know. Yeah, who am I to disagree with?
Anyway, that us Brits, we just get confused about these things.
Well, we say Majorca, so we've got no leg to stand on.
One of the features that sort of excited most of the people in the audience seemed to be the dark mode, which I think a lot of developers appreciate because they all obviously do all their work in darkened rooms in the middle of the night.
With the hoods up.
So that's great. dark mode isn't, strictly speaking, completely new to the Mac. You've had this sort of ability to turn your menu dark and your dock dark, but this is the first time it's like a complete interface overhaul where you've got either a dark interface or a light interface, mm-hmm. and it affects all of your apps and so on. So that looks really great. There's also your background wallpaper will be able to change with the time of the day, so you'll be able to see a darker image in the night and a lighter image in the middle of the day, sort of thing.
So it's a lot of stuff to kind of match your mood.
Yeah, that yeah. Sort of there'll be some sort of features that are a little bit like iOS. Say, for example, when you take a screenshot in iOS, you see a little thumbnail of that screenshot, and you can do sort of cropping and so on. You'll be able to do that on the Mac now, so it's simplifying how you take screenshots on the Mac. Nice. And also the same for video, so you can kind of capture video straight from your Mac, which you can do right now in QuickTime. But this, again, is just simplifying it so that you can use tools in sort of the Finder to actually edit and crop your video and so on. One of the things they sort of made quite a big deal about was intelligent tracking in Safari, and they made a bit of a dig at Facebook because they're sort of blocking the like buttons apparently in Facebook. Not in Facebook, but in any website that has a like button, even if you don't click like, it basically knows everything about you. So
I read a couple of sort of headlines about them, like Apple making quite a big deal about sort of not only sort of protecting privacy in you know sort of the post Cambridge Analytica world, but they were also making a big thing about sort of cutting down people's reliance on tech and some features.
Yeah, so that's a lot of the screen time sort of stuff. So that was like, it seems sort of. I thought it was quite funny to have all the developers in the audience cheering these sort of new tools that would actually stop people using their apps quite so much.
It seems very counterintuitive.
And I think the real reason why Apple's doing this is because there are some big shareholders for Apple who basically said they wanted them to do this.
Sure.
So it's a little bit like, you know, we're doing it to placate them and we're doing it to sound like we're nice, but it strikes me as a little bit nanny state.
Yeah, but also if the developers were cheering, it suggests that they're aware of sort of this issue being relevant to users and users being sort of conscious of this kind of thing.
Yeah. So we'll see.
Yeah, we will.
And I suppose the last thing to talk about is moving on from the fact that the Mac App Store is being redesigned, which is a big deal, because it will make it easier to find apps. There's also some big news coming up in the next year or so, which is that Apple's making it easier for people to port an app from iOS to Mac.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a big deal because iOS apps, obviously, there are millions and millions and millions of them, whereas Mac Store apps are a lot fewer.
Yeah.
And I suppose in some way this is Apple's attempt to sort of take some of that great stuff from iOS to the Mac.
Mm-hmm.
And the framework that they're going to be using to make it easier to sort of translate some of the scrolling functions you might have on the iPhone to the Mac,
mm-hmm.
without having to touch screen.
Yes.
Because apparently, you know, whatever Apple still insists it is against the idea of a touchscreen iMac, so we're not about to see that.
You never know with Apple. I mean, they could still bring a touchscreen MacBook out, but I doubt it. I think they're pretty wedded to the trackpad.
Yeah, they say it'll give you arm fatigue, and you know, basically what they're saying is your arm's going to ache if you're just constantly pressing the screen.
Yeah.
But then, you know, my kids, that's what they do. They run up to the TV and they press the screen because they think that's how these things work. So,
yeah,
you know,
I don't think they've got too much problem with people putting keyboards on their iPads and using that as a computer.
No,
so
no.
I don't know.
But, you know, moving forward, this should make a difference to the kind of apps we see on our Mac, and whether, by making it easier for iOS developers to port those to the Mac, then maybe it will mean that we'll see more of these iOS apps on the Mac.
Yeah, and bigger picture, I think what we're seeing here is more of a coming together of macOS and iOS in general in terms of design principles. They've always been kind of separate. I think they're even separate teams within Apple.
Mm.
I know that they definitely seem to see a lot of value in the iOS design over maybe the Mac. So you're going to see, instead of going the other way maybe, so you're going to see the iOS design come into Mac more than you're going to see it go the other way. Just because, as you said, with kids now, that is the intuitive way to use technology. So I think that's going to bleed into the way the Mac OS works.
It reminded me of when Apple initially used to, when you scrolled on a Mac, you kind of, you did the opposite of what we all do now, because the iPhone changed the way we scroll on a page. We pull it down now to read it, whereas we used to go the other way, and that all switched because that became the intuitive way to do things because of the iPhone. So eventually, you know, that will be the intuitive way, but we'll see.
So when do normal people get their hands on iOS 12 and Mojave?
iOS 12 and Mojave will be out in probably end of September. In the past, we've seen iOS launch in September and macOS launch in October, but I would say it's pretty likely they'll both come at the same time. Of course, there is a public beta, so not yet, but there will be towards the end of June. Mm-hmm. There'll be a public beta, and you'll be able to basically run those on your Mac. But bear in mind that there will be bugs, there will be issues. So if it's a Mac you use, if it's the Mac you use for your job or the iPhone you use for work and you'd be lost without them, then don't install it it on a separate partition or something. But, you know, it's great that, you know, since Apple introduced the public beta, that we all get to have a look at this stuff that's coming. So
yeah, and that's why you come to your trusted sources like Mac
of
World UK to learn about these things. So as you said earlier, the iOS 12 definitely sounds like, and Apple are always going to say this, but it sounds like it's going to have a lot of benefits for people on older devices, which is always really interesting. Is that going to be the same for Mojave, or is it going to mostly benefit the newer models?
The thing about Mojave is it's the first time that Apple's basically said no more 32-bit. So it's all about 64-bit apps, which means that there will be some apps on your Mac potentially that you use now that are 32-bit and they're not going to run.
Yeah.
So we, for example, have some of the really old Creative Suite apps, things like InDesign 5.5, it's 32-bit. So if you're still running that, you need to upgrade. And also because it's 64-bit, there will be some older Macs that were supported by High Sierra that are not supported in Mojave. And it's for the same reason. It's all about 64-bit. So
there's some considerations there.
It's a consideration, but 64-bit is quite a good thing, I think. So
fair enough. And I would be remiss to not mention in his absence watchOS. Were there any watchOS announcements? I know if David was here, he'd want to talk about them for 40 minutes.
But I think the thing that, one of the things that most impressed me about watchOS were things like, you know, you've got this walkie-talkie feature, which sounds quite fun. Same with tvOS, you know, that's also coming. And there's some nice new screensavers from the International Space Station. But to be honest,
nothing revolutionary.
Nothing revolutionary, really. I mean,
fair enough.
Let's leave that.
And I think one other thing that I noticed in the sort of post WWDC commentary was that there were some people typically who were upset that there weren't any sort of hardware announcements and that it was focused on software. I personally find that ridiculous because it's a developer conference.
Exactly. WWDC is a developer conference and it is usually about software, but it's also been the platform where in the past Apple has unveiled the iMac Pro.
Did they do iPads last year?
Might have the year before last. Yeah. But it's rarely consumer hardware. But it's often the showcase for the sort of more developer and pro hardware that you might see there. So there was an expectation that there could have been, say, some new MacBook Pros and the iMacs. Mm-hmm. We're expecting these to be updated quite soon anyway. We're sort of expecting that we'll be seeing the latest Coffee Lake chips and that, you know, you'll be getting sort of six cores and stuff like that. Apple clearly wasn't ready to be announcing that at this show. So whether we see them before September, which is the next big show we'd expect, remains to be seen. I think it's quite possible that we might see them in the next month or so.
It's kind of a typical example of Apple sort of creating expectations all of their own and then people being upset when those expectations aren't met. But actually, yeah, that's not the point of it.
No, exactly. And I think another reason why Apple might be holding back on the MacBook Pro is that there are some issues with the keyboard at the moment that it's getting sued for. So maybe it didn't want to make a big deal about the MacBook Pro at the show. And, you know, we'll see. We'll see what comes up.
Sean, was there anything from WWDC that caught your attention?
All the sort of changes they're making to, dark mode was really interesting. It's something people have been asking for a long time.
Yeah.
But even within that, the sort of reaction from the crowd was nuts. When dark mode was, there were some very happy developers in that audience at the time. Really interesting stuff.
There is one thing actually coming that was announced at WWDC that probably would be of interest to you. And that's about how OpenGL and OpenCL are about to be depreciated. And they are, I think they're standards that come into the gaming story that you're going to be talking about next. So I don't know much about Macs and gaming. Maybe we can talk about that in a bit. But that's the only sort of WWDC news that's relevant that I thought you might be interested in.
Sure, I like it.
So I think to sort of wrap up your sort of final thoughts on WWDC, was it a thumbs up or a thumbs down? Were people excited or were they overwhelmingly sort of disappointed?
I think it was a thumbs up. I think that ignoring the people who wanted there to be Macs, I think the news, we weren't expecting a lot of new features in macOS and iOS because we'd heard that Apple had said that they were holding back and trying to fix sort of vulnerabilities and flaws and issues because there have been a lot of bugs with macOS and iOS currently. So it was kind of like, you know, we're just going to get everything okay.
Yeah.
So we weren't expecting massive changes, but we are getting quite a few significant upgrades. So that's good. And the news about how iOS and macOS are sort of not exactly merging, but how the porting between the two will become easier, that was something that was rumoured. And then everyone was like, well, maybe it's not going to happen. Well, the fact that they pre-announced it is significant, and that's good news. So, yeah, I think it was good.
Yeah, it's kind of business as usual, I think.
Yeah.
Sean, thumbs up, thumbs down?
Thumbs up. It was great to watch. Great to see all the reactions to all the things that were announced. So yes, good steps forward.
It's amazing what developers get hyped up about.
They loved it. They absolutely loved it.
Great. Going to hit you with a quick drum fill, and then we're going to come back for some E3 chat.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Sean,
E3.
Tell me every single thing that has been announced at E3.
All the things will be told. So E3, biggest gaming event of the year in terms of every developer, publisher under the sun shows up for a week where it's just nerd heaven for a solid week of just. I mean, we're waiting for the news now. I'm still processing, but it's been...
It's worth noting that we're recording this on Wednesday, and it still isn't over, is it?
No, there's still stuff coming out, stuff we're trying to catch up with. There's things that aren't announced at conferences that are just for press behind closed doors that we're still trying to get our hands on. So
yeah.
Yes, so not a complete list, but we'll try and break it down by press conference to give it some form of structure, which would be useful. So starting with EA's conference, just actually before we start, it's interesting to watch all the different press conferences come in because they all try and outdo each other with announcements. So, I mean, it's this constant, like, and it builds every year, trying to not only outperform last year's press conference for each developer, but outperform everyone else, which, you know, means that we had, you know, Ubisoft, for example, brought out Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Elijah Wood to, you know, celebrities showing up, you know, marching bands. I mean, it's all kicking off. So to start with EA, which weirdly, starting off the week, probably the weakest press conference going, they announced Battlefield 5. It wouldn't be another year if we didn't have another Battlefield. Mm-hmm. We also had Anthem, which is EA's answer to Destiny, made by Activision, published by Activision, made by Bungie, and The Division. Sort of another sort of looter shooter, looks kind of interesting. Sort of might suffer from EA's, but I don't want to say typical fault of the game looks very pretty, looks very good, but lacks a bit of depth. Mm-hmm. But yet to see. Battlefront 2 is having an expansion. Battlefront 2 obviously caused a controversy about, it was a while ago now, about the whole loot box issue. So Battlefront 2, not a fan favourite because of that. Weirdly enough, they also announced a new Star Wars game that was announced with all the sort of aplomb of me telling you what I had for lunch. Which they were just sort of like, yeah, new Star Wars game, you can hold a lightsaber, which was really strange. They should have really made more of an effort for that. That's being made by Respawn, who made Titanfall 2, which is actually quite exciting, as Respawn are very good at making single-player experiences.
Good.
So that's great. Something else that came out of EA's press conference was a new Command & Conquer game. And Command & Conquer was a huge brand back in the day before, originally owned by Westwood, who were bought by EA. And then it completely went downhill. And then they've dug it up out of its grave to make some really weird mobile port game. Which
I'm going to be fascinated by this, because Command & Conquer for me is like an OG game. Like, that is an absolute classic. So it'd be nice if they could do that.
Yeah, but it's sort of, it seems like one of the franchises they could really bring back in a big way and make a new Command & Conquer game.
It would be a phenomenal tablet or phone game that you could port. Is that the idea?
I think that's certainly what they're trying. I mean, the mobile market is huge, but it's sort of, the last few Command & Conquer games were not great. It was sort of, basically, as soon as Westwood lost control of it and EA took over.
Yeah.
I mean, not to be too mean, but EA have a reputation for sucking in game studios and ripping them to pieces. So Command & Conquer got kind of dragged out of its grave into something that looked pretty average, which is a bit sad, but who knows. Moving on swiftly to Microsoft's press conference, we saw a new Halo game, Halo Infinite.
That's what everyone wanted, right?
Yes. I mean, I feel like, I mean, there's a load of IPs all over the place that at the moment, I mean, they can, as you'll see with Bethesda later, as soon as you throw up a name for, you know, Halo, put an interesting sounding word after it and a 20-second trailer with some music and people will go nuts.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens. There's a huge sort of average style of game coming out right now is Battle Royale games. So PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds is huge, and so is Fortnite. So there are a lot of developers taking advantage of this current industry trend. So
yeah, I think Call of Duty
will have one.
People went nuts.
So Battlefield. So the idea has been floated that Halo Infinite will be a Battle Royale game, which will polarize crowds.
Sure.
To say the least.
Yeah, it's more trend following than the sort of Halo game that people would have wanted.
Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, who knows? Hopefully, there's no reason why it can't be good, but the sort of style of following the recent trope is not always a good thing.
So they did literally just announce the name and roll out 20 seconds.
As far as I know at this point, there may be something else coming out soon with more details, but as far as I know, there's no release date on that
fine,
either.
Fine.
Another really big one actually was a game called Cyberpunk 2077, rather, which is made by a company called CD Projekt Red, who made the Witcher series. Sort of some of the best role-playing games of our time, really. And Cyberpunk has been in development for a long time, sort of 5 years plus. And there is some gameplay. There's still no release date announcement, but the trailer looks incredible. I mean, it's sort of, I mean, to really sort of dumb it down, it looks like GTA 5, but first person and in the future, in a very sort of cyberpunk dystopian sort of arena. Which
yeah, like Blade Runner-y.
Very Blade Runner-y. And it's sort of, you know, very sort of 80s themed, but it's sort of taking a lot of themes from different sort of sci-fi places and pulling them all together.
Yeah,
and that's, showing
everything. That's a very GTA thing to do.
Very GTA thing to do as well. But it's sort of really interesting to see that come together. CD Projekt Red, everyone really likes as a developer because they're not the sort to overprice their games or try and tack on extra DLC just to try and get you to throw some more money in.
Yeah.
They're very sort of straight and narrow. They're not giving a release date at all. They're saying it's ready when it's ready.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone loves that from them because they know the things they produce are really, really good, which can't always be said for some other developers, perhaps. So
I do think the... just from someone who's only heard about this in the last 20 seconds, the idea of a sort of sci-fi version of GTA is very exciting. There's a lot of fun that they could have there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be really good. And from some details I read actually in the past hour of some of the some press that have had some hands-on time with it, the word next-gen game is thrown around a lot, but this is certainly taking steps in that direction. So
they're impressed.
Yeah, yeah, very impressed. So Cyberpunk 2077 looks great.
Hopefully we get it before 2077.
Fingers crossed. Yeah. Who knows. Devil May Cry 5 has been announced, as has Just Cause.
Oh, that's a blast from the past.
Certainly is, yeah. Devil May Cry coming out of nowhere. Just Cause 4 featuring... it seems to be a static tournament. I mean, Just Cause, if anyone's played it, is basically... I mean, it's like GTA on speed.
Yeah.
Where it's just a physics... blowing cars up, throwing them at stuff. In this game, there's now a tornado, so you can throw things into the tornado and it's going to go nuts, and it's a whole thing. Gears of War is still coming out. Gears of War 5 on the way. The Division 2, which will be its sequel to The Division 1, which was put out a few years ago to not a whole lot of... People were excited because it was a triple A attempt at a sort of MMO shooter slash looter. And it's Division 2 has arrived. They changed the settings slightly, but after watching the gameplay footage, it just sort of looks like there's Division 1 still.
Sure.
So that will be interesting to see how much people like that. One of the big things out of this conference actually was From Software, who make the Dark Souls series of games and also Bloodborne, which are again some of the biggest RPGs of the past couple of years, and make a game called Sekiro Shadows Die Twice, which again looks very much in the sort of Dark Souls Bloodborne vein, sort of trying to move that series forward, which would be super, super interesting if you're into that. Next.
Didn't Microsoft announce a huge number of game studio acquisitions as well?
Yes. Microsoft have been going pretty nuts. In fact, Microsoft probably, in terms of raw number of announcements, had the biggest press conference, I think. Just, I'm going to say that and then do the research later.
Just like watching on Twitter, like our colleague Dom looked like he was having basically a mental breakdown by the number of like announcements they were making.
Yeah, no, Microsoft really, their conference really knocked it out of the park this year, which they really needed because the Xbox has been losing out heavily to the PS4 in terms of...
Music to my ears.
Yeah, well, and me, to be honest. So, but it's nice to see some competition coming back.
They are spending some money at the moment, Microsoft. You know, they, in B2B world, they spent... $7 billion on GitHub, the coding repository. So they are spending some cash.
Yes,
it's probably all that tax back cash that they got from Trump. So,
well, this is it. You know, got to spend it somewhere.
Yeah.
They also were very sort of, they made a commitment to sort of a new IPs, which is good because, as you'll hear, it's sort of Devil May Cry 5, Just Cause 4, yeah. Gears of War
Gears
5.
Of War.
Yeah, some new IPs would be nice into the business. The next conference was Bethesda. They announced Fallout 76. Which will be really sort of a Fallout 4.5, so that'll be good. Rage 2, the original Rage, came out almost a decade ago, I think, which looks like sort of cross between Borderlands and Mad Max, basically.
Sure.
Another Doom game, Doom Eternal. Another Wolfenstein game, Wolfenstein Youngblood, which will see the daughters of the protagonist of Wolfenstein... The recent Wolfenstein game, Star, which will be really interesting.
Nice, female-centric characters.
Yep, all about that.
It's happening.
Yep, it's happening. We've arrived, 2018. Starfield is a new IP that Bethesda have announced, which is exciting because I believe it's the first new IP in 25 years or something completely nuts.
Yeah.
So that's going to be cool. And also they announced the Elder Scrolls 6. Now, so Starfield, the new IP, will be coming out before the Elder Scrolls. Starfield is still in production, so we're probably going to see Starfield roughly 2020, maybe 2021. Which means the Elder Scrolls 6 we're not going to see until 2022.
Yeah.
23.
Can't get excited about that.
So it's a way off, and the announcement trailer was literally a flyover of a landscape, and then the Elder Scrolls 6 imposed, and then fade to black.
Brilliant.
Cool. So
an intern chucked that together 3 minutes before the conference.
They did, yeah, and it probably got more tweets than everything else put together. So people really like the Elder Scrolls.
Yeah, they do.
Square Enix conference. Tomb Raider is back for some more Tomb Raiding.
Of course.
I'm trying to keep up with all the Tomb Raider games going on at the moment. A new interesting game called Babylon's Fall, which is made by the people that made a studio called Platinum, who made Nier Automata, which was one of the best games of the past 10 years.
Nice.
Some really, really good stuff. Also, a game called The Quiet Man, which will feature a deaf protagonist, but it's sort of action, sort of brawler, but adding in game mechanics that center around your protagonist having no sound.
Sure.
Could make for quite an interesting flip on it. Ubisoft are back with more Assassin's Creed. Assassin's Creed, for a long time, like Call of Duty, like Battlefield, but worse, was just churning out a game every year, and they were getting steadily worse.
Yeah.
And they weren't out of this world in the first place. This turned around last year with Origins, which was a really, really good game. And they're coming back with Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which it will be set in Greece. And so we're basically getting Assassin's Creed 300.
Nice.
Which, I'm on board.
Yeah, I mean, that just, like, elevator pitch works.
Bam. Where's the pre-order button? Beyond Good and Evil 2, which is a game that I feel like only the most hardcore I've heard of, but it's been in development in one form or another since 2008. Beyond Good and Evil 1 came out in 2003, so this game has been a long time in the making. There have been a few cinematic trailers that look really, really good, sort of rivaling sort of Pixar level of... I mean, the trailer that was shown at E3 was... I mean, I'd watch a film on that trailer.
Sure.
I mean, it's really... Characters look great, direction's fantastic, visuals just... Really, really good stuff. A little bit of gameplay footage as well, which people have been waiting for a long time. And it's sort of almost mythological, the level of how long this game is taking to make. So that should be interesting when it comes out. Skull and Bones, which is a pirate-focused pirate RPG.
That's
with pirates
the thing
in
right
it.
Now, isn't it? Pirates.
Pirates are in.
Yeah.
We like pirates. Considering Sea of Thieves, which was the most recent pirate game, was... very hyped, and then it came out and there wasn't really a lot to do after you've played it for about 20 minutes.
Yeah, Lewis really liked it. I remember he came on the podcast to talk about it when it came out, and he, like, day one he was real into it, and then I think like sort of enthusiasm dropped off a cliff
pretty steeply. Yeah. Which is a shame, because it's sort of when you create a game that's that engaging and that grips people that quickly, but then also makes people turn off like that,
yeah,
something's weird somewhere. They, to be fair, Sea of Thieves also announced an expansion, but it's just another map, and the size of the map in the current game wasn't the problem. It's that after you've done all the content, then, which only takes you a couple of hours really, there's not really much else to do. Which is upsetting. The celebrity role kept going with Elijah Wood coming out for Transference, which is a collaboration between Ubisoft and his production company called Spectre Vision.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a psychological horror / thriller, which is part video game, part live acted. This thing has sort of been attempted before, and it's come across fairly jarring. The sort of video game, but also live action film, where you sort of make a choice and then...
Yeah, hard pass from me.
Yeah, well, I mean, so hopefully this time will be better, because it's Ubisoft in collaboration with an actual production company.
Mm-hmm.
It's designed to be played in VR. Anyone who's ever played a game that's designed to scare you in VR, that's a whole lot of nope, thanks.
Yeah, no thanks.
No, I'm all right. I'll play it on a TV with the lights off.
I won't even go and watch Hereditary in the cinema, so I definitely won't do a VR experience.
I'm totally with you. And then finally... Sony arrived. Sony had some big games to show off. The Last of Us Part 2.
This is the one.
So The Last of Us was again
my favourite game of the last decade.
It's great. Last of Us is a really, really fantastic single player game. Last of Us 2 Part 2 got announced. I was watching... I was basically watching other people watch the press conference. That sounds weird, but people restreaming it. People with more knowledge than me about the industry talking over it.
Well, they released a really short trailer, though, didn't they, for this game about 6 months ago with the main character sort of sitting on her bed playing a guitar.
Yes.
So it's not... This isn't the first we've heard of it, but have we got a date now?
No date. We do have what actually looks like gameplay. So usually sometimes when these conferences come out, you'll see something that looks a lot like gameplay in a trailer, but is actually just a scripted scene.
Yeah, that's what this older one was.
Right. So this looks like actual gameplay, but everything was so well done and put together. So, I mean, this is going to get slightly graphic, but as the character is moving through an environment, she takes an arrow out of a body and puts it in her quiver. And when the animation moves to do it, you see the hand move to exactly where the arrow is on the person, take it out, and then the arrow she puts on her back goes into her quiver. And you can it's not like the arrow disappears and the quiver looks like another arrow appears in it somewhere. You can see the individual arrows start to move around in the quiver on her back as she walks.
Class.
So there's a lot of people saying, is it scripted? Is it not? I mean, it looks so beautifully fluid that everyone is hoping it isn't.
Yeah.
And it was a very long gameplay sequence, so it would be a big thing to sort of fake, but we'll see. So Last of Us Part 2, two thumbs up.
As a slight aside, were you aware of the fan theory doing the rounds when the first trailer came out, which I'm wholeheartedly invested in?
I was not.
So the first trailer that came out, and just skip forward a minute if you don't want any potential spoilers, but this is complete conjecture, but there's the little video is of the main character whose name I'm blanking on. I think it's Ellie.
Mm-hmm, Ellie.
She sat on her bed playing a guitar, like singing, and she seems like she's gone slightly insane. I think she's got some blood on her. And then the other main character, the guy, sort of comes into the room and then checks on her, and this led to some theories that he actually is dead and she has gone completely insane in the aftermath of his death, and the whole game is going to be her on a revenge mission to avenge his death.
I'm
very invested in.
There was the trailer itself. In fact, Sony did something very interesting at the press conference where all the press were herded into a room with sort of candelabras, and it was mm-hmm. very sort of weird, and there was a lot of tweets going out going, why are we in this room with candelabras? Then they turned on the trailer for The Last of Us Part 2, and it starts in a dance hall with candelabras in it.
Nice.
On the screen, which was very, very cool.
They are investing in this game.
They're going for it. They're not messing around. The other one that they're investing in is Death Stranding. Now, this is Hideo Kojima's work following Metal Gear and Metal
also
Gear 5.
The most insane game trailer I've ever seen.
Yes.
Makes no sense.
Yeah, it's up there. I think it's another fourth trailer. And sort of, you know, when you saw the first trailer, you thought the next trailer will provide some answers. But we're now four trailers in and we're still left with more questions than answers. I mean,
there's like cosmic babies.
Cosmic babies, giant people with black holes for eyes, dead crabs all over the place, skeleton soldiers. I mean, it's wild.
I'm a big Kojima fan, but I do think that if you take the training wheels off Kojima, he has the propensity to go absolutely mad.
Yes, yeah, no. I mean, if this is with training wheels on, I'm curious to see what training wheels off would
look
like.
Well, yeah, like if Metal Gear Solid is training wheels on, then
God help us all.
Yeah. It's Mads Mikkelsen, isn't it? Or Mikkelsen is the actor.
Yeah.
And he looks just like himself.
Yeah, the motion cap's really good. We do know some things now. This last trailer revealed some more interesting aspects. So the rain is... So it's raining in the game, which is assumed would just look like rain. But this rain seems to turn things back in time or super age them. So there's a point where he puts his hand and a raindrop lands on his hand and the skin ages hugely, which is sort of very interesting, sort of interesting mechanic. He was also keen to say that this game is about bringing people together, whereas obviously most other games that involve multiple people are competitive in some way. This game is looking to sort of flip that on its head and is about sort of a community effort toward a common goal, which he's probably nuts enough to pull off.
Yeah, I mean, no one was ever going to accuse him of not being ambitious enough.
Yeah, and I mean, he hasn't fallen short of that.
No.
So, I mean, even if it's a train wreck, it's going to be interesting. I mean,
have we got a date on that?
No.
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 One thing we do have a date for is the other game that I'm massively excited about, which is Red Dead 2.
Yes.
Did they announce anything, or did they do that all pre-show?
I think most of that was pre-show, and I believe it, I believe that's February?
Sounds right.
Yeah. Weirdly, so a lot of games are pitched to come out on February the 22nd next year, and when I say a lot, I mean sort of 10 plus. I'm assuming that's because it's just a placeholder date for Q1 2019.
Sure.
But even then, there's some on the 25th of January, some on the 19th. So I have a feeling that some people need to get around a table somewhere and say, all right, lads, let's figure this out so we don't all release our games in the same week.
Fine.
Because we're going to have a bit of a drought until then. So, yes.
Red Dead, apparently, 26th of October, 2018.
Wow, okay.
Which is soon.
Red Dead much sooner than we thought.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. Red Dead 2, Rockstar, would be... Red Dead 1 was great.
Phenomenal game.
Yeah.
Never finished it, but phenomenal game.
I actually managed to play it, weirdly enough. But I mean, it's Rockstar. I mean, they make incredible open world. You know, for anyone who just doesn't know, they make GTA, and they've been making GTA since forever. Red Dead was great.
It's a Western version of GTA for anyone that doesn't know.
Yeah. So that will be just basically an incredible game to play.
It'll be great fun.
Yeah. And the last thing from a big thing from Sony was a new Spider-Man game. Spider-Man games were always lots of fun, and that the sort of just being able to swing at very high speed through New York as Spider-Man, if it's done properly, it's just a lot of fun to just do, as you can sort of shoot the webs and swing from buildings and things like that. So
I was going to make an Infinity War joke, but I bit my tongue.
And that will be also arriving sooner than January, I believe, as well.
Nice.
It's good.
That's a lot.
That is a lot.
It's a lot of game content.
A lot of game content. I skipped out quite a lot as well. E3 is more than it can be fit into one podcast.
Yeah. But naturally, if you do want all of that content, then there is, of course, Tech Advisor.
It is absolutely Tech Advisor. Come and have a look at our E3 content.
Yeah, it's all there. It's all there. It's on Twitter. It's Dom Preston. It's Sean Bradley. It's all of our good people over here covering it on the ground and from the UK. Quick roundup then. So E3, are people excited or are they disappointed?
I think people are excited. So believe it or not, this was an off year.
Wow.
So apparently next year is going to be the real swing. So we'll see. But no, great. I mean, E3 never sort of fails to deliver, which is great.
That's fun. Interesting because as a very casual gamer, I think a lot of the announcements this year move the needle. Like they're announcements that excite me. And as someone who plays about two games a year that isn't a sports game, then that kind of I find a pretty on year.
Yeah.
Karen, you haven't said much.
Well,
not a big gamer.
No, I'm not a big gamer. So for me, most of that just went straight. But for Max and gaming, there are some sort of big questions, really.
Yeah.
At WWDC, as I mentioned before, we learned that OpenGL and OpenCL are to be depreciated on the Mac, all in favour of Metal. And that's one of the issues, is porting games to the Mac requires writing them in Metal, which isn't cross-platform. So does this mean there'll be fewer games coming to the Mac?
Yeah.
Does it mean that your games that you're running right now that maybe use OpenGL will eventually stop working? But there was some positive news at WWDC as well. I mean, and prior to that, you know, we now have support for external GPUs. So traditionally, you know, Macs are built to have great battery life, etc. Things that you don't necessarily get with a gaming PC, maybe. So that's probably not completely true, but you know, the point is you plug in an external GPU and you've got much more power for playing games and so on. You've also had, you know, we already know that Blizzard has already sort of added Metal support. Unity Engine's been Metal since it was first announced. Valve is bringing Steam VR to the Mac. So, you know, there are a lot of companies behind behind gaming on the Mac. It's just the question really right now is it going to be able to cling on, really, as a platform? And will the sort of whole iOS to macOS mean that some of the games people love playing on the iPhone and the iPad, will they be coming to the Mac? So, yeah, I mean, obviously no news for Mac users at E3, but the big question right now is, should we care?
Yeah.
So and, you know, if we do, are we going to be disappointed?
Yeah, it's a time of great change.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much for joining us this week. I hope you stuck around to the end, heard all of the announcements, and as I said, check in on our sites if you're looking for more information on any of those topics. We will hopefully be back next week. E3 will be done and dusted by then, and there will no doubt be lots more news. If you enjoyed this, please recommend to your friends, please like and subscribe, and from us here, thank you and goodbye.
Bye.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.